I'll be the one who rings. All right. Also, we respectfully ask those present to please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I'll now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. So this evening we're talking about step 12. We also talked about step 12 last week, but we do a couple of the steps we do in two parts. So tonight the paragraphs focused, I think, mainly around practicing these principles in all our affairs. So we're also very lucky to have Sharon and Joe to share with us. Please help me welcome them. So the first reading tonight is on page 96. Let me read the step two. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. First paragraph on 96 says, suppose you are making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he is prepared to go through with the 12 steps of the program of recovery. Having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. Let him know you're available if he wishes to make a decision and tell his story, but do not insist upon it if he prefers to consult someone else. Sharon?
Hi, everybody. My name is Sharon, and I'm an alcoholic. As that was read, I was thinking of my first sponsor, and I met her at my first home group by her sponsor, who pointed over to her and said that she would be my sponsor. and I wasn't so sure about that. And I'm not sure that she was either, but she did this. She decided we were going to have a second meeting and talk about it. And so that's what we did. We met up for coffee, and I had a whole whopping about 2 months of sobriety, 2 months of not drinking. At that point, and I pretty much knew all that a sponsor needed to be in order to be my sponsor, and so I had a long list, and I went to this meeting with her with questions. I basically interviewed her on whether or not she was qualified to be my sponsor, and she smiled, and she was very, very patient with me, as she was the whole time she sponsored me, and she listened to the questions, she answered them, she came prepared with pamphlets, basic pamphlets that were put out in our fellowship. And then she had two simple questions for me. And those two were, are you finished? Are you done drinking? And are you willing to go to any lengths? Those were it. Those were the two things that she needed to hear in order to be able to be of service for me. And I had no clue what I was saying when I said yes to both of them. But that began her opening up our ability to work with each other. And that's what I've done, is the experience that I had with her, I've carried that on with working with other people. The majority of the time, if somebody is hurting or needs help, I'll ask them, do you want to have a cup of coffee and talk about it? There's no pressure on my part. That's what I was taught to do. And if they ask me if I'd be willing to sponsor them, most of the time, I want to talk with them about, let's look at the sponsorship pamphlet and see what that really means. And so we meet a couple of times, actually. And that's what my sponsor did for me. And that kind of helps me have time to share with them my story and share with them how I was able to recognize that when I drank, I couldn't guarantee my actions. I couldn't guarantee how much I was going to drink. I couldn't guarantee those things. And then they were able to see if maybe there was some identification, and then we would start from there. That's been really, really helpful for me to have really good examples. My first sponsor, other people in the program, have had really awesome examples of how to be available for another person that might want our program.
I'm Joe. I'm a drug addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Joe.
Speaking on these. What I like about this program is it was written by us for us. You know, it had some help from some doctors and all those guys who couldn't solve it themselves, and guess who got it? We did. You know, we figured it all out, you know. So it was already out, it was already done, you know, 50 or some odd years ago, and thank goodness, you know, for these people's experience and how they stumbled and they put together these 12 steps. I remember, like, my, you know, we were talking about sponsorship, and I remember my sponsor, and I, you know, you really got to have a pair to be a sponsor, you know, because I was a wretch when I walked. I had 11 years, and I went and I relapsed, you know. And it took me a hard time to get back into the rooms. I just, you know, I was trying to get back in, you know, and I wanted to get back in. And I remember I couldn't, you know, my brain was so scrambled that I couldn't remember which meeting I went to. I just remember there was this Thursday night meeting, and my car was on E, and I was riding around, and I just, you know, made it to this meeting that I hadn't been to in probably like 5 or so years that I hadn't been going to meetings anyways, but I've been not drinking. You know, I went in there, and, you know, I was all curled up and shoulders all hunched over, just like my disease likes me. You know, likes you to go like this. You know, it enjoys that. You're in perfect posture for it to pounce on you, you know. And there's this guy who, that, you know, and how he was like, oh, I know you, don't I know you? I was like, you know. But he was like, then he invited me out to go get something to eat, you know. And I was like, I don't have any money. He's like, that's all right, I'll pay for it. And I was like, you know, first thing came to my mind, I was like, shit, now I gotta owe this guy money. It's a trick. He's trying to set up, you know. So, you know, he took me out to dinner. You know, we talked a little bit, you know, and then it was a really crazy thing happened. He was like, this is what he does, and this would, you know, he takes his first year chip and gives it to a sponsee, you know, and you have to give it back to him at the end of the year. And it just so happened he had give it to, he didn't know that this person was in the restaurant we were, and he looked and he didn't have it. And I was like, I gave it to, you know, and she walked in and gave it to him. And he gave it to me, I got to give it. And I was like, ah, set up, now I got to do this thing with this dude. He's got it, he's trying, this is a trick. You know, I'm telling you, this is really, I'm not making this up. You know, and then we went to dinner, and then he was like, we're gonna, you know, kind of, I'll sponsor you, but you have to do everything I say, and are you willing to go any lengths? He would give me that spiel, and I was like, yeah, whatever. Because, you know, I came to a point where I was done, man. I was, you know, you come to a point where you're just done, for, you know, when people done, you know, you know, you hear in the meetings, well, this time, yeah, and sometimes you look at the, yeah, this time, it's like, yeah, right. this time. You want them this time. You know, but you know when somebody, you, when they're speaking from their heart and the program's in here, you know, or after they're done, they say, I'm done. You know, he's like, yeah, you're done now, ain't you? You know? And he, yeah, you're done. Now, come on. So he pulled me on in. You know, he pulled me on in. He's like, yeah, you know, so I what? You know, he took me to dinner. It was like, we're going to start the stuff. You've done this before, so we're going to go through these steps. Like, just, you know, we're just going to run right through them, you know. And he said, meet me at my office, you know. And the next day it snowed. We had a snowstorm. I had probably like 2 feet. And I went there and I waited. And I don't think he thought I was going to be there, mm-hmm. you know. And he and I met him at his office and, you know, we opened the book, and you know, one of the things, and I was asked to do this, and I was like, I'm dyslexic and I don't read very well, I stumble over words. So you know, I was like, you know, I remember before that I would go back and forth and read, and he was like, I'm gonna do the way my sponsor did to me, I'm gonna read this and we'll talk about it and we'll run through these steps. And he started just reading, and then it just lifted off, you know, all that stuff that I had in my head that I was worried about just faded. And I just sat there and I listened to the word that he wrote out the big book, and we talked, you know. But this man had 15 years, and that does make a difference. You know, we talk about one day at a time, and I only got the day. But, you know, when you, and I think I was reading, in, when I was reading the 12 steps today, you know, it's important that we stay clean. And it's more important that we stay clean for somebody else than to stay clean for ourselves, because it's, you know, that's how this program works. You know, reading Bill's story is when he was really feeling frazzled. He went out to get a drunk, just like he went out and get a drunk on. He went to go find one. I mean, go. I don't care if it's an alcoholic. Go find a man that's begging on the street and take him to dinner. Just gets outside of yourself. I just had a former sponsee call me, and he was all twisted just before I came here. And I would, might have been late, you know, and he was like, his girlfriend left him and this and that, you know. But, you know, he did the next thing that he knew best, you know, call somebody else and go to him and say, you're doing all the right things, man. You know, we can't, as alcoholics and drug addicts, we could be there, but we can't sit there for long. You know, we're going to find feelings and get caught up in them because we're supposed to. You know, if you think you're going to get out of this without going through some stuff, then forget about it. Uh-huh. You know, we're supposed to go through feelings, you know. But this is the best laid plan I've seen so far. You know, after cussing God out, you know, and telling him, okay, you, all right, you have everything in the book. And he, you know, showed me AA. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move on. Page 98. It is not the matter of giving that is in question, but when and how to give that often makes the difference between failure and success. The minute we put our work on a service plane, the alcoholic commences to rely upon our assistance rather than upon God. He clamors for this or that, claiming he cannot master alcohol until his material needs are cared for. Nonsense. Some of us have taken very hard knocks to learn this truth. Job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking so long as we place dependence upon other people ahead of dependence upon God. Burn the idea into the consciousness of every man that he can get well, regardless of anyone. The only condition is that he trust in God and clean house.
Okay. I'm still Sharon, still an alcoholic. Didn't change in the next 5 minutes. The first statement, it's not a matter of giving that is in question. My first sponsor, she meant the world to me. If you've been sponsored and she or he has helped you walk out of hell, they become very, very, very precious to you. I couldn't figure out how I could get back to her, and her biggest thing was passing it on. You know, the only thing she wanted from me is for me to continue giving it to other people, and that was amazing to me. That was because I was a really, really, really good doer before I got here, but I want But I wanted pats on the back. I wanted my cookies. I wanted praise. So I didn't get it when somebody gave me as much time and energy and everything that she gave me as she helped me walk through the steps the first time, and hours and hours and tears and whining and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And she had a life outside of me. I didn't know that. But, I mean, she did. She had children. She had a full-time job. She had a home. She had a life. And when I started coming to a little bit, and when I, you know, and towards the end of my first year, I suddenly kind of got a clue that, wow, she has given a tremendous part of her life to me freely. And all that she's asking me to do is give that to somebody else. So it wasn't a question, and still hasn't been a question on a day-to-day basis now, if I should continue doing that. I've had a number of years in the program now, and over time, there have been some tremendous things happening in my life. There's outside circumstances. And I want to go, you know, but this, but that. And all I can think of is that she gave me the tools. I need to use them. And I need to practice them no matter what. And I need to share with other people how they're working for me. And hopes that maybe they'll work for the other person. And so that's really, really been amazing for me. As far as the dependence on other people, I was highly dependent on other people, and I was highly dependent on her at first. I had to take some bumps and bruises, and really tough things happen before my dependence totally shifted to my higher power. I went through two sponsors that I thought that when they stopped sponsoring me, that my world would come to a flipping end, and everything was going to come crashing down. And guess what? My higher power put another person in their place. The right person always showed up at the right time. And so I love that about this program and this fellowship and how it works. I know outside of this fellowship in my home life, I was extremely dependent on my husband, more than he ever wanted me to be dependent on him. Ever. And our marriage took a toll for a long, long time. And I whined and I cried and I blah, 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 blah. And I thought that if our marriage ended, that I wouldn't stay sober. I didn't know how I'd be able to live. And it honestly, somewhere along in tonight's readings, when we talked, somewhere along there, it talks a little bit about this area. And for me, it's in that part, it says a couple of months, maybe the family will start getting back together. For me, it was about 5 years before I got to the point where my higher power and my sobriety were the utmost most important thing. I kept saying it, and I kept trying to practice it, but it got to my gut at that point. And so in talking with not having that dependence on other people, but having that dependence on God, I have that experience. So when other women are going through that, I don't know exactly how theirs is going to turn out, but I can share how mine has turned out and where I'm at today. And for that, I'm really grateful.
Thanks.
Joe?
Joe's still a drug addict and alcoholic.
Hey, Joe.
You know, what is it about Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, because they're not saying anything that Mama didn't tell me, you know? They're not saying that, you know, my dad had some rules, you know? You know, I grew up in a solid household. I heard it in church, you know? It's just, you know, I was thinking today, I was reading the 12 steps today, and I'm so glad I did. You know, but it ran down all the steps and how they're aligned, you know, and it's perfect. You know, what I didn't get in my Baptist church upbringing, and why I was rebelling against my mom and dad, who told me the same things that's going on here, you know, that I'm revisiting, You know, it's the same, you know? I went around and I'm being brought back to where I belong, you know? And these steps are aligned in a way to heal all. You know, that, just like the, how do you let go and let God, you know, after being twisted? You know, after, like, you know, losing, being saved and being in the church and, you know, and then it's like, what? No. You know, that's not for me, because I went there. I did not reject it. I embraced it, or did I? You know? It seems to be getting everything right, you know? Because, and now, you know, and I was even thinking, I was sharing last week, is like, I think somebody made a slip at the meeting Friday and said that they thank alcohol instead of thanking, you know, and they said it, and no, and I'm like, and then somebody said, no, I thank alcohol now, because if it took all the me being all humpback and twisted and going through what I had to go through to sit in these seats and be able to be the best Joe that I could be every day and have an opportunity to work on that every day, then it was worth it. You know, it was worth it. And that's what, you know, I like that about that, you know. But, you know, just like, I don't, you know, to have you, one day at a time, I have to remind myself daily. I don't do that daily, to not trust that my job, that my paycheck's going to be there, that all that, you know, worried about all that. And, you know, how do you not worry about that? You know, I sometimes worry about it, you know, and I don't want to turn it over until my, you know, fingernails are broken, you know. And fingers are all bloody, you know. That's how you can tell a drug addict, alcoholic, because they'll hold on to that kind of stuff, those resentments and those fears and doubts and stuff. And I think the steps going up to the third step, when they tell you, you know, to say that third step prayer, you know, and what, just like my sponsor had us get down on our knees and hold hands and go through that prayer, and then is it supposed to just happen? You know, I've seen so many little miracles happen in my life that I'm not, you know, it helps me, you won't, not question. I say, yeah, that's it. That's what it is. It's not me. And sometimes when I get out of the way long enough, I could see that, you know, my life is progressing and getting better, and I had very little to do with it. Although this is an action program, you know, this is an action program. The first step is, you know, the first thing that happens, man, is, you know, you stop drinking, and you know, it's you got to first you. Stop drinking and you start feeling better physically. You know, you'd be surprised how much, if you just eat and exercise, how much better you'll feel, you know? And just do that. That's all you got to do. You know, you'll feel so much better, and you start feeling better physically, you know? And then you start turning things over, and then, you know, the second is, you know, you start getting your mind back, you know, and you start thinking straight again. And, you know, you probably thought you had something to do with that. You know, and are getting full of yourself, you know, and if you don't have a sponsor, you'll probably mess that up, you know. And then, you know, and then the most important part, I think, is when we start, you know, before we start the second part is this program, you know, and you know, listening to other sciences, that we have more connections going from our heart to our head than our head to our heart. You know, this is where we learn. This is just gets in the way. You know, and this has been running the show for so long that, you know, and that's what I like about steps. It got me to start learning. I don't care if it's math. You'll learn it from here. Not here. This is what you keep thinking about stuff, because smart people have a hard time with this, don't they? Don't you? Don't you? You know? Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
I just want to check on the room. Did everybody hear okay? Everybody's good? Not so much? We need to use the microphones, right?
Yeah.
Page 98. Now, the domestic problem. There is one. There may be divorce, separation, or just strained relations. When your prospect has made such reparation as he can to his family and has thoroughly explained to them the new principles by which he is living, he should proceed to put those principles into action at home. That is, if he is lucky enough to have a home. Though his family may be at fault in many respects, he should not be concerned about that. He should concentrate on his own spiritual demonstration. Argument and fault-finding are to be avoided like the plague. In many homes, this is a difficult thing to do, but it must be done if any results are to be expected. If persisted in for a few months, the effect on a man's family is sure to be great. The most incompatible people discover they have a basis upon which they can meet. Little by little, the family may see their own defects and admit them. These can be discussed in an atmosphere of helpfulness and friendliness. Chair? Oh, sorry. Wait a minute.
When?
Yeah. I think we're good.
I find it interesting that it doesn't say if the domestic problem. It says now the domestic problem. There's many ifs in the big book, but apparently they kind of knew this would be a problem. And in my case, that's definitely true. My marriage was really in a horrible spot when I got here. And like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it took quite a while for that to improve. And I had to start getting better first. And that was a hard thing for me to accept. I would say it. I'd be in the room saying it. And I'd talk to other people and, you know, do that. But for whatever reason, you know, when I'm dealing with people, working with people that are really, really hard-headed, this is the area that I need to remember, because I was so hard-headed in this. And it made me really sick. There are people in the rooms, this room here tonight, that remembers me suffering for 5 years of going through this horrible time of trying to make that house the way I thought that house should be, and that man the way that he should be, and he should accept me the way that I am, and I need to teach him the AA way, and he should behave accordingly, and and everything would be okay if it just was like that. And I got all up in his business. A lot. And I felt like when I got here, I came in as a victim, a wife that was a victim. And poor me, poor me, poor me. And you know where that leads. And then I started getting a little bit of life and a little bit of courage and strength. And I whacked him with it for about 5 years. And that did not help our marriage at all. It didn't. So I'm so grateful for the other people who have had similar experiences that kind of, first of all, God bless the people that listen to my crap and whining. And one dear friend in the program, and she still calls me her friend. She said, Sharon, you have been whining about this for 5 years. Pooper, get off the pot. And I was like, what? You're my friend. Why would you say that to me? You know, because I didn't know how. I still didn't know how. And fortunately for me, one of those outside circumstances happened, and it was pretty catastrophic for our family. There was stuff that went on. And when that happened, it became a turning point. And we didn't plan it, and I didn't. It wasn't because I came up with a scheme of how I was going to make the marriage work or any. It just happened. And when that happened, something changed. Something clicked again for me and for him. And we decided we wanted to try this a different way. And he's not one of us. And he was so over Al-Anon because I was shoving that down his throat too, because maybe they'd fix him. but what we did, I had gotten really, really sick, and he thought he was going to lose me. And when I came out of the hospital, unexpectedly, they planned my funeral. When I came out of the hospital, he didn't want to divorce me anymore, and he wanted to try. And I was completely confused, because I'm like, I've been trying. What the heck do I do? So what do? Then you know, you pray about it, you ask your sponsor, and my sponsor just looked at me and said, Sharon, keep it simple, take it a day at a time, don't try to fix this marriage, see where God takes it, and just accept it and let it go. And so for me, with my husband, what we've been practicing for the past 8 years is a day at a time. And I'm not fighting or arguing or telling them. I wasn't a very good fighter anyway, so I kind of sucked at it. But I felt like I needed to, though. I felt like I had to defend myself and prove that I'm whatever I was trying to prove for the day. And and when it finally occurred to me that I didn't have to argue anymore, when it finally broke through, that was like when it finally occurred to me in the beginning that I didn't have to drink anymore. I mean, that was a new concept. I had to drink before I got here. And then I got here, and somebody said, you never have to drink again. And I was like, wow. And so, and with my husband, I don't have to argue. I might argue, but I don't have to argue. And I've had people give me suggestions like, my sponsor, my grand sponsor, my great grand sponsor, because I reach out for all my resources. But it give me suggestions for how to walk through difficult times, and one of them was things were really going bad, and I, you know, I called my sponsor, she wasn't available, so I had to up the ante and call my grand sponsor, and she dropped what she was doing and she came over. And she said, before I get there, I want you to write it out, because that she's big on writing. So she wanted me to do basically how the fourth step is, write out the columns. When she got there, she didn't want me to waste her time. And we sat and we went through this, and then she kind of was able to help me see my part in that particular situation. And then she helped me to be able to go, maybe you could go back to him and ask him how you can help. I'm like, what? He's doing da-da-da-da-da. No, see how you can be of service. See how you can help. And I was like, but he's going to ask me to do blah, 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 whatever it is. It's impossible. I'm not willing to do it. She's like, you don't even know. You're not in the conversation. She goes, however, if he asks you to do something that goes against your recovery or your sobriety or something like that, you can say, I'm not able to do that. Is there some other way I can help this situation? You know what? I did that with him. And he was like jaw-dropping, oh my gosh, she wants to connect with me and maybe we can walk through this. And amazingly, things like that, what we ended up coming up with an agreement that if we get hot or things get crazy or whatever, that our agreement was, we're going to end the conversation and try again later. Well, before sobriety, when we ended the conversation and tried again later, somebody was chasing somebody into the other room to demand that conversation continue until we had it exactly the way. But you know what? In recovery and through practice and through doing all of this, and we've been able to come up with different solutions. I'm still shocked. I think one of the That's one of the biggest healing areas that I've had in my recovery. I know that I think I'm gonna end right there. It's been good. Thanks.
Thank you. Joe, I thought, do you say that all? Oh yeah.
Thank you.
All right. The steps have. Made me better. I was talking about before, it made I was a liar and, a poser. You know, that's what I did. 5 years old, you know? And it's like Joey Hoy had G.I. Joe, and I had a G.I. Joe, but Joey Hoy had the scuba suit. So I'm going to be his friend, you know? And that's how I rolled, you know? The program made me look at, it made me have to go back and look at that stuff, you know? I'm a mama's boy. I'm the mass manipulator to get what I want, to be in a position. I think I gotta move this over here so I can get that over there. You know, that's behavior, you know, unless I had this to go back and look at where that little 5-year-old boy had got that stuff from and still carried on to adulthood. No wonder I had some jacked up relationships. If you didn't have something to offer me, then I didn't want to really have nothing to do with you, whether you were a friend or you were, a significant other. You know, you better have it going on. You have to look a certain way, act a certain way, you know, have a certain income, drive a certain something, you know, for me to have anything to do with you, you know. And if you did, then I could make you like me, you know, and I'll dance and, you know, and I'll smile and do whatever I have to do to get there, you know. I'll manipulate that situation. That's horrible, you know. I have an opportunity to correct all that stuff now. There's some damage in there, you know. I've never been married, you know, but I was thinking while you're reading that also that when we start getting better, and I know in my situation, you know, there was some sick things going on in the rest of my family that I was so self-centered that I didn't realize there were some things in my family that were going on, you know, that once I start getting clean, I could be a sounding rod for my sister who was having problems and my nephew who was having problems. My mother, I was there for my mother when she died, you know, from cancer. I was there to talk to her and be with her and massage her back and, you know, my sister going through the things that she's going through and that, you know, I'm able to, you know, here, call, please talk to this boy. You know, and I'm never saying anything that didn't come out of that book right there. That's all just came from there, and it's stuff that's that I use to just in people at work. If they're, you know, the man that called me tonight, my ex-sponsee who's, you know, having problems with his girlfriend who left him. You know, I'm just reminding him of stuff that we're going to read together, you know, that we'll get together tomorrow and we could just open that book to any page and snap it up. And I bet you it'll come out to something that he needs to hear. You know, that's how this works. It doesn't matter. It's just going to be there. It'll align itself, the moon and the stars and all that. So it sounds funky, right? But it's real, you know, Deepak Chopra, you know, quote so much 12-step stuff, I think he's in the program, you know? I hear it all the time, you know? We get better, you know? I've said before, it's like, you know, you start feeling better, and, you know, and you may get to a point where you start looking better and acting better, and your significant other be like, you look good now, you know? I want him back, you know. That might happen. Or, you know, you might start getting better and then roll over at night and go, I'm like, I cannot believe I just did that. You know? I don't, oh please, stop breathing. You know? you may have made a bad decision in the first place. You know? That might not have been a good idea. Where did you meet? In the tiki bar. You know? Might not have been a good idea. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to continue on page 100. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Sharon? Okay. A thought that was going through my mind was that I don't know what's best for me, drunk or sober. I like to think that I know, but I don't know. And one of the most powerful things one of my sponsors gave to me was when I was trying to figure something out, trying to figure life out, and all of the things were lining up, and I was like, this is a God thing, and this is a God thing, and see, this proves this is how it's supposed to go, and this is a God thing. And she looked at me, and she goes, I have no clue how it's supposed to be, but if we just keep, you know, practicing and keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you trust God, it will all work out. And whatever that thing was, I know what it was, but I'm not boring y'all with it. Whatever that thing was, it completely turned out differently than I planned. And it did completely turn out a lot better than I planned. When it mentions about remarkable things happening, I'm thinking of the changes in me over the years. And it's not because of me. It's because of this program. And I was a victim of a woman crying all the time because poor, pitiful me. I've got this demanding husband and blah, blah. By the way, my sponsees come to my house these days, and they're like, I want one like him, you know, because he's a really awesome guy. But that's not how I perceived it back in the day. And actually, that's not how we were back in the day. We've both changed. It's been an amazing journey. I know that early on, I was extremely afraid all the time. I feared everything. I feared change. And these days, I'm mild to moderate about fear of change. It's still there. It still happens. But I trust the process. So that's huge. And I did write a few things down. I have not had a lot of sleep in the last couple of days. So if you don't like people that have notes, sorry. something else I wrote down is a big change for me is that I'm willing to face uncertainty. Before, you know, if I had something coming up and I didn't think I knew how it was going to play out, I would completely panic. And today, the majority of the time, I can say, okay, it's a new adventure, you know, and I was taught that. I'm just one foot in front of the other, trust my higher power, take the spiritual actions, and I can walk through anything, and it will be much better than the chaos that I'm planning in my head. And so that's what I do. I know that when difficult things happen, I'm going through a really difficult time right now. So David asked me to speak about a month or two ago. I think God knew that I was going to be going through this difficult time right now. And a couple of my sponsees were like, you're still going to speak tonight? And I'm like, yep, I'm still going to speak tonight. This is what we do. We take these actions, we walk through, and life is much, I don't know, it's amazing. It's amazing how we can walk through a lot of difficult stuff. I know also that, I don't know if it's in this part or not, but I know that my perception of my life and where I'm at any given day, left alone, gets really, really, really off course. It gets really skewed. When I'm practicing this stuff, when I'm working with other people, when I'm showing up and sharing my experience, strength, and hope, it puts things into focus. And for that, I'm going to just, every time I speak, say I'm truly grateful. Thanks.
Joe? Hi. When I was picking up chips last year, you know, I want to keep it simple. And I don't, you know, it just seems like, and I had went through the steps before. And I picked it up and said, how did you do it? I was like, I start my day on my knees and I end my day on my knees. And you know, everything in between, I just leave it alone, and that's all I can do is you know ask to be guided in the morning and tell them thank you at the end, you know? Things just keep getting better for me a little bit at a time. I was thinking I had gotten I thought I had my like dream job. I was working at a ropes course for the school division in Virginia Beach, and I really loved it. You know, I had a connection with people. I did team building, staff development, and you know, I had people in there climbing and they're, you know, going through what they need to go through, and had the opportunity to build this humongous ropes course over in Virginia Beach. And my boss that was running that course, she's like, I want you to come over and I want you to manage this thing, and you know, and I helped build it, and now I'm like managing that thing too, and I don't know why, because I have no experience in managing nothing. You know, my degree is in commercial art. I haven't managed anything, you know. But I remember at I went to go take a guy at a meeting and his son to go see the park after a meeting on Friday night. So we went to the ropes course and it was all lit up and it's really big and it's all Christmassy out there. And, you know, the kid is like 10 years old. And we were walking through and he was like, wow, this is so cool. Joe, this is really, really cool. He's walking around. Look how cool it is. And he said, you're the manager of this? Like, you? You know? And his dad was like, don't say it like that. And I was like, that's okay, because I have to do that too. I'm like, I'm responsible for all this? You know? I'm like, that could not be me, you know? Because I don't know what I'm doing. You know? I'm learning as I go. And who's going to give you the opportunity to do? Who else is going to give you the opportunity to learn as you go? You know? This whole program is about learning as you go. Learning you as you go. Learning him as you go. You know? That's what it is. Every day is an adventure. You know? This is the adventure. You know? Yeah. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go. We just have a few minutes left. The last two paragraphs on page 102 and 103. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it's a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those who are there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. If you're with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along. Let your friends know they're not to change their habits on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Your job is to be at the place where you can be of maximum service to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. After all, our problems were of our own making. Bottles were only a symptom. Besides, we have to stop fighting anybody or anything. We have to.
That line, your job is now to be in a place of maximum helpfulness to others. I think that's the key in this whole section. There are plenty of places that I'm not comfortable going to today. I'm just not comfortable with it. And not that I can't be there, if I have a reason for being there. I do practice the steps to the best of my ability on a day-to-day basis, and I do ask God many times throughout the day, how can I best serve thee? Thy will be done. And with that, I've been in some pretty peculiar places at times. and even when I am tired And even when I am a little shaky and those kinds of things, and I can't, you know, it's best a lot of times if I have another person with me. But there was an experience that in my career where I was going into homes and helping people, end of life care, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of drinking going on when families are coping with that. And I remember one time being with the family and being with the patient, and that wine glass just going under my nose from this family member to that family member back and forth, and it was pretty intense. And I was so grateful that I didn't yank that glass out of their hand. Because I had a purpose for being there. It was, you know, I was there for that dying person. I was there to be a support for the family. There was reasons for me being there. And that's been my experience, is that not just in Alcoholics Anonymous helping another person get sober, there are other places where my higher power uses me, where I'm exposed. And so if I continue to focus and continue to stay centered and ask God to show me, tell me, guide me on how to best be of service, even at those times, I've got some amazing, I don't know, superpower in there, that shields that off. And that's my experience, and for that, I'm grateful.
Thank you.
I'm going to make it quick. I had 11 years before I relapsed. In the last 5 years, I was going out partying. And you know, people was like, you're dry. I was a dry drunk. But no, I was like, I was so full of myself. I was above it. I look down on people who drink. You drink that poison? And I was a vegetarian at that time, and I was like, you eat meat? No, you eat animal flesh? I turned my nose up at you. I was good at that, you know? You put that poison in your body, you know, and I'll be like, okay, I'll buy her a drink and buy her a drink. The more you drink, the better I'm going to look, you know? You know, I was a manipulator, you know? It didn't matter to me. I planned my relapse 5 years before I relapsed. 5 years, you know, I was just waiting for somebody to die so somebody could feel sorry for me so I could have the excuse to drink, you know? And, you know, and it was not a death, it was a wedding.
Same thing.
And I'm from Louisiana. My people are from New Orleans. You know, my mother died 6 months ago, and my aunt who brought me into this program with over 40 years of sobriety in Chicago died last month, and I went to her funeral also. I'm from Louisiana. I don't know, y'all heard the second line?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So you go to the funeral nice and slow, and when you leave that, it's party time. You know, and my family is a party family, you know, they partied and danced and had a good old time at my mother's funeral and also at my aunt's funeral. And I think that's a good thing. I really do. I think you celebrate people's life and you talk really good things about them. I like the way that's done. And that's what we did because they were both awesome women. That's all I got.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, we're going to pass the Seven Tradition Basket. Seven Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seven Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district, area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any announcements for the good of AA tonight? Catherine.
Hey, I have an announcement.
Yay.
My name is Catherine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine.
There's some green flyers. floating around, maybe on your chair, but next week is Subword a Speaker.
Yay!
And there is an awesome speaker coming. Her name's Sammy, and she has a great story. She loves being sober, and dinner is at 6. It's a potluck, so bring a dish if you wish. And 7 is a speaker, so I think you guys are just coming to get one minute. Please come out. Thank you.
My name is Lorraine, and I'm a virtual organizer. And I'd like to announce that this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. over in the church room, our Christian Home Group is sponsoring a panel discussion workshop. It starts at 10 a.m., but if you show up at 9:30 a.m., we can bring down some light breakfast refreshments. We've got 3 topics that will be presented by people with over 130 years of combined sobriety. The topics are who is a member of AA, spirituality and recovery, and the significance of the traditions. And it sounds like it would be really fascinating, and we'd love to see as many of you come and share that time with us as possible.
All right. Any other announcements for the good of AA?
Thanks, Kathy.
All right. And that event you were describing?
Yes, Subword a Speaker.
That's in this room.
Yeah, next week.
1 week from tonight. Okay.
It will be transformed.
Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of the home group members. Home group members, please raise your hand.
Woohoo!
Let's see. Lost my place there. There's literature available right over there. Please see a home group member if you need any. If you can fold it, it's free. The books have a nominal cost. And newcomers, you are the reason we are here tonight. So if there's anybody in your first 30 days of sobriety, just so that we can welcome you, please give us your first name if you're comfortable. Anybody? First 30 days?
Tori, 25 days sober.
Woo! Tori, welcome. Sarah!
Hey, Sarah. Yay!
Welcome.
Welcome back.
Hey, Patty.
Patty, welcome.
Come back.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome.
Hey, my name's Dan.
Hi, Dan. Welcome. Hi, Claire. Welcome.
Welcome.
I'm Chase.
Hey, Chase. Welcome.
I'm Kevin. I'm an alcoholic.
Kevin. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Welcome.
Come on.
David loves this.
That's awesome. This is why we're here. Anybody shy?
I think it's
going once? All right. So, now here's a clever segue. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information on sponsorship, we have 2 home group members. Evan and Debbie, and they'll be up at the table, up in this general area after the meeting. If you just, you know, no contracts to sign, if you just have a question, they'll be here to help you, okay? So feel free to talk to them. Smokers, please use the butt cans provided outside and keep your butts well away from the church doors. There are other people using the church. So we try to keep them from walking through billowing clouds of smoke. Let's see, all the meeting audio. This is awkward reading this. I wrote it too. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. If you'd like to be included on our email list just to receive announcements for events, you can either sign up on simpleactions.net or there's a little gizmo up there. You can write your email address down and we'll keep you in the loop on things that are happening around here. So, could we thank the panel for sharing again? Thanks to everyone who participated in the meeting tonight. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the step discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which is held at the International House of Pancakes.
Very classy.
It is not a local joint, it's an international joint. And just a reminder, SARP, all you guys, everybody's welcome here next week. We're going to start eating at 6. It's a potluck at 6. Bring your dish if you wish. And the speaker will be at the regular meeting time, 7 o'clock. But everybody's welcome. Anybody want to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I'm Brian, I'm an alcoholic.
Go, Brian.
Brian.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to your happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Amen. Shall we close? Our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.